Start your engines and join me in the new mobile game, RuPaul's Drag Race Superstar. May the best superstar win. Available now.
In a world full of straight people,
aren't you glad there's WOW Presents Plus, the number one place in the world to see Drag Race?
RuPaul's Drag Race, may the best drag queen win. Drag queen win.
And so much more. Subscribe to WOW Presents Plus. Still only $4.99. Subscribe today as streamed on TV.
I'm Matt McConkie. I'm a writer, performer, and host of this podcast about And Just Like That. But now that we've recapped both seasons of the show, I couldn't help but wonder, should I go back and cover the original Sex and the City? The answer, of course, is no, but I can't be stopped, so every week I'll be joined by my very own Mirandas and Charlottes to unpack an episode or movie of their choosing. We're doing Sex and the City Roulette with extra Samantha and none of the Che. And just like Matt, welcome to the show. Friends, a couple quick pieces of business at the top. First, if you have not already, please give us a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify. Really gives me a reason to live. Also, I have to issue 2 important corrections. I've never done this before, but got some feedback I just want to address. First one is regarding one of our previous episodes. We recapped the And Just Like That episode, Diwali, in which Carrie goes home with Seema for her family's Diwali celebration. Got a great note from a listener named Priya about Carrie shopping for her Diwali. She pointed out we kept referring to Carrie buying a sari. They are not saris. They are, I believe it's called a lehenga choli. Forgive me if I'm pronouncing that wrong. She even sent me a New York Times article all about this, which of course I hadn't read. I just want to say to Priya and to anybody who was annoyed by that misnomer that, no pun intended, I am sorry. And thank you for pointing it out. You know, when we know better, we do better. And lastly, just quickly, another kind listener wrote in pointing out how frequently people have misgendered both the character of Che Diaz, also the actor Sara Ramirez, you know, using she, her pronouns, and we should be using they, them. And first, I think maybe a lot of people don't even realize that Sara Ramirez uses they, them pronouns, which, of course, we shouldn't assume. But nobody would ever intentionally make this mistake. It should be corrected in the moment. There have been times that I have tried to do that without interrupting the flow too much, or even the times we've cut some stuff out of the episode to avoid that. But either way, I do want to apologize that that has happened. It's another important learning moment. So, you know, thank you for pointing it out. And I, you know, could have done a better job addressing it in the moment. I wish I could go back and fix it. But as Samantha would say, coulda, shoulda, woulda. Which brings us to today's episode. We're talking Sex and the City, season 4, episode 11, Coulda, Shoulda, Woulda, written by Jenny Bix. This is the one where Miranda gets pregnant but doesn't think she wants the baby. Charlotte can't get pregnant, wants a baby more than anything. It's also the one with Samantha in the Birkin bag. Such an emotional episode. I've seen it 100 times. I still cry every time. So I have brought together for you 2 of my dearest friends who over the years I have cried with and to a shocking number of times. I look forward to doing it again today. First up, I met her when we were scrappy 18-year-olds. We're running around the streets of New York, actually at the peak of Sex and the City. She had short, spiky hair. She smoked cigarettes. But now, she is a writer whose work's been featured in the New York Times, Parents Magazine, Texas Monthly, so much more. She did a one-woman show called I'm Sorry at the New York Fringe Festival that was literally one of the best things I have ever seen. She's also a major advocate for animal rescue, and she's a certified breathwork facilitator, and she also has a master's from Harvard. She's an unstoppable force of nature. Katya Lidsky, hello and welcome.
Hi, Papo. It's nice to see you.
I'm so happy you're here. Thank you for sitting through that epic introduction. Let's introduce our other guest. She is a renowned professional astrologer, the host of the podcasts The Radiance Project and Chart Your Career. She has 2 books of poetry called This Beckoning Ceaseless Beauty and Wild Compassion. She has a 12-book series called The Zodiac Love Letters, which was published by One Idea Press, and a book called Everyday Radiance, published by Chronicle. And listeners, I know you are so done hearing about my wedding, but she also officiated it. Heidi Rose Robbins, hello.
Hello. Oh, I'm so happy to be in this little triangle.
too.
As am I. So let's talk big picture. You both and your individual histories with Sex and the City. Katya, I am embarrassed to know, after our long history together, I don't know what your level of fandom is, really.
I mean, truly loved the show. Loved it as it was happening. Love it still now. Here's what I love always. I love the way they captured like the freedom of New York City. I feel like that never left. Like there's always like a Carrie or someone running, you know, through the night. Mm. And like that sort of feeling when you're like young and it's warm out in New York City. I feel like that was always there. And it's what I loved the most about living there. I love the show. I love everyone on it. Except Aiden. I hate Aiden. And I'm sorry.
What?
And you know, I hate I hate nobody, but I severely dislike Aiden. And it's a very controversial thing.
It's controversial and it's such a twist. You feel like, I think you might be such an Aiden girl that you're actually rejecting that part of yourself. It's like too close to home. Well, okay, we'll come back to that briefly, but Heidi, I know, you know, you have, I think, more of a casual relationship to the series. You know, definitely a familiarity, but you haven't seen a ton of it. And we'll dive into this episode in a minute. But just generally speaking, how has it felt for you? Because I love getting some fresh eyes, you know, on this for a change. You know, how has it felt for you getting to know our gals a little bit better?
Love it. And, you know, honestly, I would say that everything I know about Sex and the City, I know because I love you. And I would say, like, you know, we met, what, 12 or 13 years ago, maybe 15 years ago. And I immediately started going, well, let's check out this show. And I've, of course, watched all of And Just Like That. And yeah, particularly I watched this episode like 3 times and I feel the same way. You just fall in love with them and fall in love with that kind of friendship. And you know, when it came out, I was in Seattle. I had just gotten engaged. I was at a particularly low moment. And I think I was like just not in the realm of that show at the time. Right. But it's certainly, it's fun and hot and, you know, but tells such a great story. And Katya, you're such a writer, like how you describe it is perfect. So yeah.
Yeah.
I aspire to watching the whole thing soon from the beginning to the end.
Well, this was such a great entry point. We'll come back to the episode, but Katya, I think like, as Heidi mentioned, you're such a writer. And of course we always have to have the obligatory discussion of like, are you a Carrie? Are you a Miranda? I'm assuming if we're going to, you know, shove you into one of these boxes that you would be a Carrie, no?
I mean, here's the thing. I'm terrible at like self, I would say, if I could self-diagnose negatively, I'm great at it. But if I have to self-diagnose and go up positively, I struggle. But I would say I'd probably be a Carrie in terms of who I relate to the most. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I have to say in coulda, woulda, shoulda, like, the shining star for me is Miranda. Like, I remember this episode the first time I saw it being like, that was probably the, I've had many times wanting to be a Charlotte. I've had many times being like, what would it be like to be a Samantha? Very few times that I have been like, Miranda, it has my heart. Like, that's who I want to align with. And this was one of the first episodes, especially the part where she walks behind Charlotte down the street.
Oh, yeah.
The whole way home. Like, these are things about her that like stood out, where I was like, she's kind of the unsung hero that made me want to be her. Although, like, Carrie all the way. Carrie. Oh my God, Carrie.
I loved that moment, Katya, where where they say she knew Miranda was behind her. I think that's my favorite moment of the whole episode. But yeah.
Same. Well, before we get into the episode fully, Heidi, are there any astrological insights into the characters, the actors, anything around the show?
Yeah. I'm excited.
Well, let me just say something funny is that, so I didn't look at the characters' astrology because some of it's made up and some of it we can't pin down. And sometimes they've given a birthday and not. But just for fun, Sarah Jessica Parker is an Aries with a Capricorn moon. Katya, by the way, is a Capricorn with an Aries moon. And I'm an Aries with a Capricorn moon. So it's funny. So the Carrie theme is strong. Yeah. But so yeah, there's something very cool. I mean, look, I could say the highlight of each one. Like Samantha, she's Kim is a Leo, with Pluto on her son. Like, talk about the powerful lioness who's completely unafraid, right?
Yes.
I mean, she's just like tons of power. And then if we look at Cynthia and Sarah Jessica Parker, they're both Aries. So aren't they like, they're like, they're the best friends, right? I mean, like, they really go to each other, right?
Yeah.
But what's so interesting is Sarah Jessica Parker has Venus on her sun. So she's got this like magnetic Aries energy. Wow. And Cynthia has Mars on her sun. So she's like the warrioress. Like, it's this outer kind of, assertive energy. So those two Aries energies are different. And by the way, all the women, all the actresses have fire suns except Kristen, who is a Pisces.
That makes so much sense. Yeah.
Right. So she's got so much Pisces in her chart, and the other women are all fire, which is cool. I mean, that's just a beginning, but that's some fun stuff about them.
The Pisces thing rings. I mean, all I know about Pisces is obviously that it's a water sign. And I just have these visuals that you sort of always have given me of like plunging deep into feeling around like water signs. And that's because I kind of feel like what you're saying about Miranda, Katya, about Charlotte, like, it watching it just like that and then rewatching these old episodes that she was never like when you're like younger, you kind of aspire to be a Carrie or a Samantha, because those are the ones running through the streets of New York in a way that looks like a romantic adventure. And you never really wanted to be Charlotte, because like all she wants to do is settle down and have a family. And now that I'm older, like, Charlotte has my heart, you know.
I love I love to hear you say that, yeah. Maddie, because I feel like in a weird way, I agree with you that like, I remember feeling differently about Charlotte. Like, I'm not going to lie, I always thought she was just like so gorgeous, like classically gorgeous. And I have, you know, historically been overly dazzled by such things. Mm. But I now look at her and I'm like, it's kind of like, I think maybe I thought of her as like anti-feminist at some point. And now I look at her as like super feminists, like this idea of really being whoever she wants to be, even if the thing is not the thing that like we had to fight for, like, you know, like, not that she didn't have goals or dreams or aspirations other than motherhood and being a wife, but she was, what a bold thing at that time when these women were so, you know, brave and talking about sex and abortion and lovers in a way that's so casual. Like this episode, just especially, it's just like it opens. It's just, it's like, it's normal conversation, which is like amazing to see for women. I think still it's like, yes.
Yeah.
But like that Charlotte wanted something that maybe didn't seem as cool, now I think is actually takes so much guts.
So well said. I agree. I mean, that is a good segue into the episode, you know, because when we open, it's Miranda delivering the big news first to Carrie, then to the other girls, you know, that she's pregnant, it's Steve's, it's unplanned, she's definitely not going to keep it. While at the same time, Charlotte is desperately trying to get pregnant and she can't. And so that tension between these two things happening, between these two friends at the same time, kicks off, I think, one of the best stories the show's ever told. And like you said, it leads to these like frank discussions about abortion that just feel very real and pretty bold for the time, you know, because this was back when that was a controversial topic before we solved it as we have today. I'm kidding.
I loved those conversations too. And my heart broke a little when they were on the phone with their doctors, you know, with Charlotte saying, I have to, you know, fertility, and then Miranda about, I don't want to be pregnant anymore. Right. So I loved that was still in there, how uncomfortable it was to even just talk about these things, even in 2001.
Yeah. And, you know, when I was emailing you two about doing this and I asked, is there an episode you're dying to talk about? Katya made a pretty impassioned case for several different episodes that were all very convincing, but this one was at the top of the list. And I was like, we've done so many season four episodes. I kind of want to get away from it. Season four is peak Sex and the City, but also I feel like your passion for this episode in particular, I was like, well, we got to talk about it.
I think for me, like, I actually went, it was an episode I went back to during my own like motherhood journey. Maybe TMI, but you know, this is what we're here for.
No such thing on this show.
Right? We had losses along our journey, my husband and I, my partner and I. And, you know, I would say Eric was someone who knew he wanted to be a dad as like a purpose in life. Like that's part of why he's here. Whereas I didn't have that calling and didn't know who would be the me in a mom. It was like, I barely knew who I was separate from my parents and didn't know where they ended and I began, that I felt very intimidated by the idea of then having children. I felt like I had just found myself. And then we got pregnant and it was this very, it was almost like what they say in like a 12-step program when you're like struck abstinent, when you like you're struck with like, okay, I'm never going to do that thing again. I was struck with a feeling inside that I wanted to be a mother immediately, and then had a loss and mourned the ghost of the idea that I had just discovered. And then it happened again. And so it was it's a very lonely time, even though you know it happens to other women. And it really requires, I think miscarriages require seeking out comfort from other women who have been there. And one of the people who I turned to was, in fact, Heidi, who led this beautiful astrological gathering around motherhood at my house, which was so healing for me and to hear other women around me, whether they had like just, you know, tried once and got pregnant, or had, you know, had abortions, or had miscarried, or adopted, all the things were present. And between my own losses and Heidi's workshop, which I'm so, it stands out in my mind as so healing, was this rewatching of Coulda, Shoulda, Woulda, wow. Rewatching of like, okay, it must be normal enough that it's that like people are talking about it on a television, the most popular television show. Like I needed to see that it, like, women struggled and that they wanted it. And I loved how personally Charlotte took Miranda's pregnancy. Cause I remember driving, like, I'd exit, you know, off the 405 and I'd see a homeless person who was pregnant. And I'd be like, what? I don't understand. Like, very pregnant. And I was, you know, like, why can't I get pregnant? What is wrong with me and my body? You know, it was just this, it always felt so personal, you know, that wanting to be happy for your friends, but being so devastated for yourself, happening at the same time. I just didn't, I couldn't handle it on my own. I definitely needed television and Heidi to help me through. Yeah.
I think that's what's so amazing about the episode with Charlotte, though, is that journey from being so reactive and being so taking it so personally and being so broken and needing her space and saying that she needed her space to, you know, to that last moment where it's just like, it's such a beautifully acted, devastating, gorgeous, heart-cracking open last moment. And she really pulls that off, you know, where the friendship prevails and that, you know, they are having a baby, you know?
Yeah. So it's everything we love about the show. It's like when the friendship is sort of really put front and center at the heart of things.
Yeah. And I mean, Katya, I'm just thinking about that particular gathering. It was such a powerful gathering because it was women at all moments, like right after this gathering, the next day, one of the women called me and said she was found out she was pregnant. Then there were women that had come with miscarriages. There were women that, were just at that threshold moment. And we were all sort of talking about our own mothers. And we were talking about that leap into motherhood. And it was a very, very, very precious time. It was a sort of in between where the leap was about to be made.
I think that I love that you said that, Heidi, because I think that for me, like, there was a lot of time that I think I've been maybe ashamed of admitting things. Like, I was, you know, two of my closest friends got pregnant during our losses. So I would have been ashamed to admit those struggles. I had to be both holding joy for them and sorrow for us, even though our story did end wonderfully, and I feel so grateful and blessed. And I still don't know who I am as a mom, but that's another episode. But my point being that gathering and all of the journey, which I feel like was centered in this episode of Sex and the City, is this idea that there's something about, I think, the motherhood endeavor, whether you end up having kids, adopting kids, however, parenthood endeavor, that makes you face who you have been as a friend and who you want to be as a friend. I don't think they're separate. For me, it was the beginning of me realizing how much I don't want to show parts of myself and thus am not known or real or authentic with people who I dearly loved. So for me, it was like one thing was everything. And I feel like this was in the center of this episode, like,
yeah,
because of that ending, because of that way of like coming back to like, no matter all these personal journeys, we're us four or we're having this kid together. Oh my God.
So beautiful. Yeah. And yeah, like you're saying, where Miranda is mentally in terms of motherhood here is so relatable. Obviously I'm not comparing my own journey to any woman's struggle with fertility, but you know, Michael and I are very much grappling with the question of whether to have children, when to have children. And I think it's a harder topic for me than it is for him. I relate so deeply to what you're saying, Katya, about where you were when it came to deciding to be a parent, that like, how can I be when I don't know who I am yet? And for me, there's also this really like embarrassing feeling of like, I'm not done being the baby myself. Like I can't let someone else be the baby. Like I need to be the baby for a while. And it's, you know, I am 43 going on 44. I don't know how much longer I need like me as baby time. But I think that's what is especially scary, as so weird to compare it to drugs, but for the same reason that I'm so terrified of doing like ketamine or ayahuasca, when people talk about like facing these demons or facing these parts of themselves that were always there, like I know that's waiting for me with parenting, and that is a beautiful thing, but I'm like, I'd rather not look at that.
There's something, I'm so glad you said all that, Matt. And I will say, when I had, you know, my daughter, there was a part of me absolutely that felt, does anybody feel prepared? Does anybody feel like I'm about to be the best mother in the world, best father in the world? I doubt it, but I don't know who said it to me, but it was something like, and I really have lived this way, that as your child is growing up, you get to reparent yourself. So you get to actually be the baby and the toddler and the, you know, 10-year-old, and you sort of get to repattern and show up for yourself in a deeper way. And you understand like maybe what you didn't get, you understand how you treated yourself. And I mean, obviously I'm not always great at doing it, but sometimes I can really land in it and go, oh my God, this is my little 14-year-old self I'm talking to. And I'm doing a much better job, you know, talking to my daughter than I ever did talking to myself. And something is healed in it too.
That's so beautiful. And it's so connected to what you just said about, like, I've never heard anybody compare parenthood to meeting your devils during an ayahuasca trip, but it's very accurate. And like, you're right though, Heidi, it is that ability to, it's like you're in a moment with your kid, you have to like jump into Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure time machine, go back in time to give something to your little kid self that never got it, so you can get back into the time machine, jump into the present moment and give it to your kid. And your brain learns to do it, because otherwise you just continue giving lack or giving abundant or giving what you got, but also not giving what you didn't get. And you don't want that for them. Mm-hmm. So it is very trippy.
And you know what? Like, I think the three of us all have a ton of Capricorn energy. So there's this part that's like, oh, well, to be a good, I better be a really good parent. It involves structure and it involves, you know, being responsible and it involves all these sort of plans,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But the only thing that matters is also like the two of you, my God, I can't think of many people that love the way you love. And that is it. That is it in terms of a kid. It's just like, how much can you love them? And how much can you love yourself in the process? And nothing else matters.
Maddie, when you,
oh, Heidi,
when you even say, just if I may reflect, like when you say Michael and I are having these conversations, like for what it's worth, even on a screen all the way over here, like a softening overwhelms you. And I would say, like, just witnessing it from over here, it's impossible for that not to be what's going to lead you in whatever decision, whatever you guys decide. Like the safety you have between you, that's already healed so much, is the place in which whatever decision you make is going to be wonderful for your family. But if it is parenthood, it's going to come from that soft place. It's going to be beautiful.
Mm. Yeah.
We talked recently about that episode where Carrie doesn't have enough money to buy her apartment and Charlotte eventually gives her her engagement ring to help her get the money. That one always strikes a nerve because it's such a relatable topic, because sometimes that paycheck just doesn't seem to come quick enough. But look, life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app, you verify your paycheck, then you access up to $100 a day as you work, leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I know I've got my husband's birthday coming up. I want to give him a nice gift. He's a man who likes the nicer things in life. So that's certainly how I would use the extra money I'd get from Earnin. Download Earnin today. It's EARNIN in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Just Like Matt under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. That's Just Like Matt under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. If you've ever listened to this podcast, you know I'm a huge fan of therapy. It's a big part of my life. Therapy is where I process a lot of the things that we talk about on this podcast. You know, stress about aging or career or navigating a breakup, whether it be romantic or an issue with friends. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Another reason I love therapy is that it helps me to recharge my social battery, especially as we're ramping up for summer. We're all going to be seeing a lot more friends and family. Some of us have, some introverted tendencies. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/likematt today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/likematt.
Thank you for saying that. Was not expecting to cry about this. I was expecting to cry about Charlotte and Miranda. To take us back to the show, when this bomb is dropped, this secret is out, or sort of presented to the group that Miranda is pregnant, Carrie tells Aiden about it and swears him to secrecy, and you know, puts him in this bind because he feels a loyalty to Steve. And you know, unlike Katya, I'm generally an Aiden fan, but it is tough. It's a tough color on a man to like. Carrie, I think, kind of accurately senses that if he knows that she once had an abortion, he would judge her. Heidi, before Katya comes in with her rage about Aiden. How did you feel about this piece of the story?
Right, where she's afraid to tell him.
Yeah, and just the how it affects their relationship. Yeah.
Yeah, well, first I would just say, I think it's such a classic thing where one partner is saying, I've got to tell you something and you can't tell anybody, you know, and the other partner then feels trapped by it, yeah. Right? And that was interesting to like feel into the times that I've done that with a friend or a partner and feel into mm-hmm. the times I've been asked to do that. You know, like I think Aiden says, I feel like you just trapped me. But I don't know, like just from this particular episode, I did not get the feeling that he would judge her. I get the feeling that Carrie was carrying, you know, the pain of patriarchy or, you know, in her being and saying, and it's the shame around it, the sad and inappropriate shame. But I didn't feel like he would judge her for it. But yeah, Katya, what was your head? Yeah.
Matt, I don't want to jump you.
No, please do. Speak your truth. Okay. Go ahead. Safe space.
Disclaimer that like at 10 years old, when the first time I went to see Phantom of the Opera, like, you know, I didn't leave the theater. I was the last person. My whole family had to stay begrudgingly with me because I couldn't believe that he was left alone. You know, it was like, just live in a cave with him. You made the wrong choice, Christine. Like, I don't understand. And so I want to say that, like, naturally, I'm going to go for big all the way, because he's the equivalent of probably the Phantom of the, like, you know, he's imperfect. He's sexy. He's flawed. And he leads with it. And I find that to be incredibly vulnerable. And there's a permission there to be yourself. And my problem with Aiden is that he's a make-believe idea that I find doesn't exist, or when it does, it's annoying because he's like, I'm so perfect. I don't want Carrie to smoke, which is a previous episode, but like, he's just, I don't need your, like, give me the Phantom. Like, I don't need your, like, I'm so great energy. Like, it doesn't give me permission to be a person. This is how I feel. He bothered me immensely. He's cute, but I felt like, of course, Carrie's going to feel like he would judge her. Because of his very being, who he is, yeah. She would have had no problem telling Big. Big would have been, have you ever had an abortion? Yes, I have. And he'd go like, gotcha, babe. And that would be it, right? And they'd go have a glass of, you know, Merlot. No, not Merlot. Pinot Noir. But I guess I just feel like the very character that was created would make Carrie feel less than, or somehow like she doesn't measure up to the perfect pure Aiden, and I hate him for it.
That's interesting. It is. And you're right, Heidi. Like, he doesn't actually, he says all the right things when they finally do have the conversation. And I appreciate him for that. But you're right, Katya. Like, this would have been a whole different conversation with Big.
You know, what's interesting astrologically is Chris Noth has all this Scorpio energy in his chart.
Oh,
right.
Of course.
So,
yeah.
So he's got all this depth. He's got like the sun, Saturn, Venus, all in Scorpio. Oh. And so when you talk about like, she could tell him anything, she could show up as she is, you know, that's so being with a Scorpio, the intimacy of that, the depth of that, you know, whereas John Corbet, he has more, like he's a Taurus and he's got all this Pisces, he's got a Pisces moon. So it's kind of like, the Pisces is a little bit dreamy, a little mutable, and it doesn't go to the Scorpio depth. Let's put it that way.
Interesting.
Yeah. I just think like Carrie as a writer, you know, and as a, like in this episode, I felt like she makes a great mom. Like in this episode, I felt like she's the shining maternal energy to me as well in this episode, even though it's not about her motherhood journey at all, but she just mothers the whole group. She holds space for every single member of that group. I just felt like, I don't know. She's not there yet on her journey, as you know, like motherhood isn't on her radar in this part of, at this point of Sex and the City, but like, I feel like it is on his part. I feel like Aiden's already ready to be a dad in this episode. Like, I just don't, I don't see him as evolved as she is, as this like writerly, brave, curious, you know, one who can center everybody and anchor everybody and keep them down. And he's just like, not that deep is a great way to put it, Heidi.
There was a moment, Katya, right at the beginning, when she's in the closet and she's going up to him and walking back and going up to him and walking back. And then she finally she tells him, and he goes and he's like, come here. And he's like, and he hugs her. I was like, ugh. I mean, in that moment, it's not what was required. It's not what I would want. It's not about comforting her. She's just wanting to tell what's going on. And so there was something about that moment that I was like, this is not helpful.
He does it at the end of the episode too, when they're outside and the table's ready and they have that cheeky last line of the episode and she gives him a kiss and the camera pulls away and he's in this weird pucker that's supposed to be like quirky and goofy. And it's not quirky. It's not goofy. It's out of touch. Buddy. We don't want you anymore. I'm sorry.
You know, one of the many, many things I have in common with our Lord and Savior, Oprah Winfrey, is that I love bread. I do. I love it. It's my favorite thing. When they drop that basket on the table at a restaurant, I light up, I dive in, and then I go, oh no, don't have too many. What am I going to do? Because the carb fear can be very real. But luckily, Hero Bread is here with those same delicious favorites, but free of consequences or compromises, because they have remade carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. And right now, if you go to hero.co and use code LIKEMATT, you'll get 10% off your order. So whether your health goals are getting enough fiber or cutting down on sugar or adding more protein, or you want to find a way to make a delicious French toast or a breakfast sandwich that still fits in with those goals, it's all about the Hero Bread. So don't give up on being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your first order. Go to hero.co and use code LIKEMATT at checkout. That's LIKEMATT at hero.co. Because you can have your bread and eat it too.
Don't be sorry. I think this is what we're in a way meant to feel. Like, I think Carrie is never at that stage of her life. She's never fully on board with him. Yeah. I think for all the reasons that you're talking about. And, you know, you're right. He might not be that deep, but the story itself quite deep. And it's a heavy story, a lot of emotional heft. And then it's kind of balanced out, as it often is, by Samantha. She's, you know, facing a bit of a lighter dilemma with this Birkin bag. She wants the new Birkin bag. She uses her client, Lucy Liu, to get one, which, of course, backfires. Any thoughts on Samantha's journey here?
Oh, first of all, it's so much fun to astrologically see that Kim Cattrall has Mercury in Virgo, which is so, you know, so precise, finds just the right turn, just, you know, little critical or refining, you know. I loved the moment where she's she loses. I thought that was so brilliant.
I also really like, I love the levity. I love that Sex and the City does that they are like, you know, duck, duck, goose. Like, they know how to rest the game for a minute, and it makes it all go down smoother. But I also love like the cleverness, this exact story, because Birkin bags, first of all, it is an investment. It is like a little baby. And to me, I'm not a bag person. Like, I'm 44 and I just bought my first bag and it was $75. And I was like, guys, I spent $75 on a bag, to which my sisters were like, I'm sorry, are you an 11-year-old boy? Like, who cares about a $75 bag? I thought it was very good. I thought I did a good job. It was a nice vegan bag. But I'm not a bag person, so to me, a $4,000 bag is a baby. It's an investment that you cradle and cherish. Also, that bag, I do know enough, again, per my sisters and not my own lived experience, I know that Birkin bags are meant to be like passed down to your children and then to your grandchildren. They are like these very expensive, like heirlooms. They're meant to be part of a legacy. So I did think, like, how genius to not make it just any bag, but to make it a bag that has to do with parenthood and yes, creation and something you leave to someone. It was just smart. It's just so smart.
That's brilliant.
That is brilliant. Yeah, that didn't even occur to me. It's so smart. And yeah, to think, like, if Samantha can ever come back again, and just like that, if she can ever get that Mercury and Venus in order and unblock me on Instagram, come back. It would be interesting to see. Maybe she, you know, gives that Birkin bag to one of Charlotte's kids.
I love that her desire for that bag, like, blew up the whole thing with Lucy Liu. Like, there was the moment when Lucy Liu came in with that bag that she could have said, well, this is $4,000 that I'm losing, you know, but she needed that. And then she didn't even get it, right?
Yeah. Well, to wrap us up, you know, I would like to revisit the question that Carrie poses early in the episode, you know, when she's writing her article, she's waxing about how when we feel lost, you know, we have to let go of the coulda, shoulda, woulda, we have to keep going. And there's this version of ourselves that we hope to be, and yet we keep asking ourselves, are we there yet? And since this episode will probably drop just before New Year's, I would love to hear from each of you as you reflect on this past year and your own lives, how you think you're doing in terms of letting go of whatever your coulda, shoulda, woulda might be.
Hmm. Any chance you want to go first, Matt?
Oh God, I haven't even thought about this. I don't know what it is, but it probably has something to do with parenting. Mm-hmm. That's all I'll say. It's something to do with my ideas around it. Mm.
Well, I'll jump in. I had this vision of my dad just now, where we would be driving places, road trips or whatever, and I would be sitting next to him. And I don't know if this is going to translate just with sound, but occasionally he'd just go like, oh, you know, he would turn to the side and I'd be like, what is going on? And he would say that he was like revisiting some horrible like guilt or some like regret. And he would consistently do this throughout my childhood. And I remember just watching him going, oh my God, this is so horrible. Like, I don't want to revisit like that. I don't want to be caught like that, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we just have to be so kind to ourselves with the coulda, shoulda, woulda. I think we just have to keep resetting. And I think for me, coulda, shoulda, woulda, it's like when I go back and read old journals and I'm still writing about the same things I was writing 25 years ago. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sick of myself, you know? And it's almost like I want to let go. My coulda, shoulda, woulda is like, in a way, it takes the time it takes. It takes the time it takes. Mm. And can I say that I've grown incrementally this past year? Yes, I've grown incrementally. Like, I've made some better choices and I've been kinder to myself and I've, you know, created a little more spaciousness in my life. And that's all I want to keep doing, is being kinder to myself as the day begins, learning to breathe more deeply, learning to acknowledge how I've grown when I've grown, and letting it be a little messy. And that's all I aspire to in the new year, is just continue that process. Yeah.
Oh God.
That's so beautiful.
Well said. Yeah. I think we could all use plenty of that going into 2024. How about you, Katya?
I think I'm coulda, shoulda, woulda out. You know, I think like coulda, shoulda, woulda is like, I don't know if I would, I'm not as knowledgeable as Heidi to dare say that it's a Capricorn specialty, but it feels like one to me. Really good at, examining and dissecting and grading everything that I not only will do but have done, and just like toggle back and forth. And so for me, I think it's like everything that I want, Everything I really want exists really right now. And I think presence is the most important thing in my life. As I see it today, it's the most important thing I can give to my kids. And it's the only way I know how to actively love. And it's the only way that I'm going to find any answers that I'm really, you know, to the questions that I have been carrying around. So I think a coulda, shoulda, woulda for me is an alarm that I'm not in the present moment. And what can I do to get back to it? Because all my pain and suffering mostly comes from being either dwelling in the past or worrying about or projecting something onto the future that hasn't even happened. And then I think I've never really asked questions like what makes me feel, what would feel happy right now, or what feels good right now, or what's beautiful or abundant right now. Instead, it's always been sort of outsourcing my joy into what I coulda, shoulda, would have done so that I can do it better next time, is sort of wrangle it to be what I want it to be. So I just, in general, feel like it's a wonderful indication that I have to go back into right now. That's my new year for me is what's right now. That's it. I know that that's incredibly unsexy. It's more Aiden than big. And I admit it. Damn it.
See, I knew that there was something there. I think I'd like to rewrite mine and just kind of hijack both of yours, you know, because I relate to both so deeply. And right now I'm feeling sad that this conversation is coming to an end, but so grateful for it. This has been a source of joy, as you both are in my life, in every conversation we have. So thank you so much. Heidi Rose Robbins, Katya Lidsky. I love you both. Can't thank you enough.
Love thank you, Maddie. Love we you. Adore you so much.
And that's our show. Please do give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Instagram at And Just Like Matt Pod. And Just Like Matt is a World of Wonder production created and hosted by me, Matt McConkie. Our executive producer is Renee Colvert. Our associate producer is Jess Walensky. And our audio engineer is Justin Mattson. Many thanks to Michael Pressman and everyone at World of Wonder.